Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning. You live in a tough neighborhood, in a tough part of the world. Is there a lot of dissing and disrespecting going on there?
I think that's an understatement of what goes on around here, to be honest. I don't know that we quite use the word dissed, although I am familiar with the term dissed. But there is a lot of dissing that goes on here, unfortunately. And before we start talking about dissing, I wanted to talk about Sukkot and some of the things that go down here in Sukkot, because we've hardly rolled into Sukkot and we're rolling out of Sukkot
100%.
With the long weekend coming up. But one of the things that caught my attention over Sukkot was, you know, we come from a world where once upon a time, the whole concept of the Arba Minim, the four species that had taken the Lulav, the Etrog, Hadassim, you know, the whole process of putting the four species together. I remember once upon a time where if you wanted to do a bracha over the lulav, you would have to go to your local shul. There might be two or three sets there that everybody would have to share. You'd have to take your turn and wait until you had an opportunity to make the bracha. That was the way that these things work. These days, everybody's got their own private set. Everybody has a chance to buy their own set. And I noticed that they were selling them in the supermarkets in Israel. You could go and do your shopping. You could buy your milk. You could buy your canned goods. You could buy your chalot. And you could buy your lulav and etrog in the supermarket, pop it into your trolley, and off you go to the checkout, where it would cost you less than 100 shekels for your lulav and etrog in your cart. And that is the way that things are done these days. Of course, there is also, in most towns and cities across Israel, a Sukkot market that normally runs between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, the start of Sukkot, where you can buy your sukkah, you can buy your decorations, many of which are last year's Christmas decorations recycled to put up into your sukkah. And you could buy your four species. And as I say, this, the Arba Minim that you take is something that you could buy in Israel for less than 100 shekels. Interestingly, because of the Shemitah year that has just been completed, most of the Etrogim in Israel were not grown in Israel. And that would be a 1-in-7-year event, because in fact, most of the Etrogim that are used in Israel are usually grown here. This year, that's not the case. Where do the Etrogim come from? From Morocco, where apparently tens of thousands of Etrogim are grown. And this is apparently some agricultural phenomenon that was originally originated by Jews who lived in Morocco many, many years ago, and who started this concept of growing etrogim in Morocco according to Jewish law, according to etrogim that are kosher, that can be used for Sukkot. This is something that started apparently some 2,000 years ago in the Atlas Mountains, founded by Jews who sheltered amongst the tribes there after the destruction of the Second Temple. And this is an agricultural thing that actually has continued over those 2,000 years and has now been renewed under Abraham Accords, because the import of Etrogim from Morocco has been made much, much easier under the new situation of the Abraham Accords. And we understand that many of the Etrogim that have been used in Israel this year come from Morocco. Of course, having said that you can buy your lulav and etrog for less than 100 shekels, we also know that you can get those super duper extra special ones, unblemished examined under microscope, which can cost you thousands of shekels if that's the way that you like to do your thing. Some people like to do it as simply as possible, and some people like it to do it as super smartly as possible. But that's kind of what's been happening in Israel around the time of Sukkot. And no sign of rain during Sukkot, which is quite unusual.
Yeah, well, we have the same,
for this time of the year.
Yeah, we've got exactly the same thing here. Normally, by now, it's raining in Johannesburg, and certainly it hasn't started at all. There's also been a 2000, and I wanted to discuss it yesterday, but once we're on the subject of Sukkot, apparently 2,000 Christian tourists due in Israel this week.
Or that have arrived in Israel this week, and quite a lot of interesting stories surround the Christian pilgrims who have come for the Festival of Tabernacle, as Sukkot is known around some areas. Yeah, I mean, this is obviously, again, in the post-pandemic era, where we're returning back to what was originally something which happened regularly around this time of year, the Christian pilgrims who come to Israel over this time of year. And what's fascinating for me is that these pilgrimages, these tourists who come to Israel, first of all, many of the pilgrims who come here come under the auspices of the Jerusalem Embassy of the Institute of Christians and Jews. It's an embassy that is based in Jerusalem and that arranges these pilgrimages for not only regular Christians, but in fact they've got Christian Zionists, they've got all kinds of groups of Christians who come to Israel at this time of year under the banner of the International Christian Embassy in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Apparently, these 2,000 Christians have come from 70 countries and are taking part in what is the 43rd annual Feast of Tabernacles celebration. They have got a massive program that has been put together for these Christians, and they will begin at the Kinneret, at the Sea of Galilee. They will then go to Capernaum, which in Hebrew we call Kfar Nachum, the Capernaum National Park, for 2 days, and ultimately their tour ends in Jerusalem. And this is something which used to happen every year, and of course had a break. Interesting that before COVID, Christians made up 55% of all tourism to Israel in 2019. I don't know that people understood how important this Christian tourism really is. And one of the Christians who is in Israel this week as part of the program is the former South African Chief Justice, Mogoeng Mogoeng, who is here. And he has become quite a celebrity as part of this program. He... of course, controversially.
Yeah, he was. He's really been. Mogoeng has been really, really lambasted here in South Africa, and I would tell you that it's had a significantly negative impact on his career, his support for Israel, and even though he's been very balanced in his pronouncements around Israel, he's been very, very heavily dealt with here.
Negative. He has been heavily dealt with, and he was even forced to make a formal apology to the court, even though what he said was hardly anything controversial that might have demanded an apology. But Mogoeng is in Israel this week as part of the Christian Zionist groups that are here. He has been interviewed. He has also been honored with an award by some groups who feel that, you know, he's really gone out of his way to be very balanced in the way that he presents the Israeli situation, particularly in South Africa, where, of course, he came under a lot of criticism. So it's interesting that these Christian groups are in Israel and are bringing a little bit more balance to our situation following the pandemic, and, of course, are also being allowed to view things on the ground as they are, rather than to be misled or to be led or to be told, influenced by what is written in the press and has a certain narrative, as we mentioned yesterday.
Absolutely. Really interesting. The other, the negative story, unfortunately, is the fact that there's been a further escalation of the security situation on the West Bank and its Jerusalem.
So, unfortunately, an outbreak of violence yesterday, really noticeable increase in violent activities around the areas of the West Bank and in East Jerusalem. Some people are saying that it has arisen as a result of a call by the new group that we discussed yesterday, the Lion's Den group, mm-hmm. which is this Nablus-based group, yes. also known as Arin al-Aswud. That is the Nablus-based militant faction. That is their name in Arabic, Arin al-Aswud. In English, they are known as the Lion's Den. They called for a day of protest and a day of strikes yesterday. And it seems as if, though, quite a number of people actually adhere to it. So it seems that their influence is growing dramatically in a very, very short space of time. It seems as if though some of the things that they are making public statements about are being really followed by people, by Arabs, by Muslims, people living within the Palestinian Authority area and elsewhere. But I think that one of the other issues which has arisen is the fact that the Shuafat refugee camp, which is based within the municipal area of Jerusalem, has been closed completely, locked down, as a result of IDF activity in order to try to find and arrest the person who was involved in the shooting on Saturday night of the IDF soldier, her death has resulted in a lot of IDF activity in order to try to bring to justice the person who was involved in that incident. They know who the person is. They believe that the person currently is being housed, protected, hidden within the environs of the Shuafat refugee camp in East Jerusalem, as a result of which the IDF has actually closed down that particular camp. All entrances have been locked down by the IDF, and a lot of protest because of the fact that people can't move freely backwards and forwards from their homes. The people who live there are residents of Israel. They are entitled to move freely around wherever they wish within Jerusalem and beyond. They are entitled to move without any restriction at all. And most of them do have jobs within the area of Jerusalem. And unfortunately, they are now being restricted as a result of the IDF having closed down that area in the search for that particular terrorist, the person who murdered an IDF soldier. And so until such time as that person is found and brought to justice, it seems as if the IDF are going to continue to keep a lockdown on that area. But it also affects relating areas, Beit Hanina, Abu Tol, Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood. All of those neighborhoods last night had violence associated with them. And it just seems to escalate more and more. Also, visitors to Joseph's tomb came under further attack again last night. Nobody was injured, but unfortunately, people have been injured in Jerusalem. There are two security guards and two soldiers who the police officers, I apologize, two Israeli police officers have been injured, and quite a number of Palestinians have been arrested, have been injured. Apparently, two people were injured quite seriously when the explosive device that they were carrying in order to throw towards Israeli forces exploded in their hands. One person has a hand amputated as a result of that. So there are injuries, there are deaths, there are definitely a feeling like we're moving towards a much more violent situation. And I'm not quite really sure what the government are saying or doing about this, because Prime Minister Yair Lapid has been significantly quiet in addressing this issue. But obviously this situation arises under his watch. We have been through a period where things have been much calmer. Unfortunately, this is not the case. An Israeli family managed to escape a lynch mob in Jerusalem, East Jerusalem yesterday. So really a whole host of violence that is going on at the moment, which really needs government attention, needs somebody to be visible and to be taking control of the situation.
Yeah, and I see that Netanyahu is taking full advantage of it as well, calling it a weak government, as we would expect, but hardly helpful at this time, surely.
Hardly helpful at this time, but one wonders whether some of that actually has a true ring to it, because, as I said before, under Netanyahu's watch, things were relatively calm. We certainly didn't have this level of uprising. There are people who are talking about the word intifada, because it kind of looks a little bit like what went down during the intifada. It's not clear whether this is arising as a result of a change to Israeli policy in the way that they're dealing with the situation, or whether this is something which is arising from within the West Bank itself, maybe a weakness in the Palestinian Authority, in their security services. It's not exactly clear why right now things are rising up, why groups like the Lion's Den, which, by the way, has been associated with Hamas. It's not exactly clear whether they are linked to Hamas, whether they are being funded by Hamas. They've certainly denied it, but there are reports suggesting that there is a link with Hamas. So unfortunately, we're in a very, very serious situation where things can potentially get out of control. And obviously, over the weekend now, as we move into the holiday weekend, into the Chag, into Simchat Torah, there will be a lockdown again in order to try to control things. But we will be watching next week to see how things move out of that lockdown period.